Seems to me you're just plain scared.
Yes. Yeah, I am. I met him 15 years ago. I was told there was nothing left. No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of life or death, of good or evil, right or wrong. I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes. I spent 8 years trying to reach him, and then another 7 trying to keep him locked up, because I realized that what was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
This podcast may contain hoarse language. Listener discretion is advised. Hello peeps, it is me, Misty Darling, and you know what that means. You are in for about 80 minutes of thrills and chills. It is time for the pod that rocks whose bod. Oh yeah, your bod. October is almost over, but the boys are still in full throat with the bloody horror movies. Well, let's get this season 5 episode 16 party started. Here are your two dudes with toots, Scott and Terrence.
Hi there, and welcome to the pod that rocks your bod. This is Flixmax, a place where we can talk about movies and television in a safe and friendly environment. I am one of your hosts, Terrence. And who are you?
I would be Scott, the other host, another co-founder.
Do you feel safe?
The co-founder of Flixmax Limited. LLC.
Now that everybody remember, this is a safe place for us to be safe together.
You can have freely express your thoughts without prejudice or censorship and ridicule. Maybe ridicule.
And whatnot.
Whatnot, yes.
What's going on today? Doing something. We're doing a list today, and
we're continuing today, our spooky season.
That's right, spooky season, Halloween time. And today we will be discussing our favorite sci-fi horror movies.
That's very scary.
So, we'll get to that in a brief time here. But how you doing, Scott?
I'm fantastic. You know, I'm here. I'm talking to you. I'm breathing. I can see it's dark outside, so that's all I need.
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
I'm really happy about everything you just said.
Yes, I have a fly swatter beside me. I mean, life couldn't get any more perfect.
Well, just in case there's the flies, right?
Yes.
It is late October, but there still could be flies about because it's unseasonably warm, I guess. Yes, I don't know.
It's not continually sub-zero yet.
In the great white north of Alberta, we had a brief snow event on the weekend, but wasn't too bad.
No, it's not sub-zero, it's plain zero.
Oh man, what a great movie that is. So now that we've gotten all of the small talk out of the way, Shall we get down to our challenges?
Let's do it to it.
So, I will let you go first.
Okay. Well, I had my challenge of watching as many sequels or reboots, remakes, what have you, prequels as I could find or just watch. And I probably went a little overboard. After a while, like, I was just choosing something to watch, and I automatically just chose a sequel and wasn't even thinking about it when I did it. So, give or take, it's about 13 or 14.
Oh, so would you care to list them?
I will. Sinister 2. The remake of Cabin Fever. Diary of the Dead. Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf.
Yes.
Yes. Leatherface. Mm-hmm. That was the prequel. Now, this one is kind of a niffy because it's actually the original, but I've only ever seen the remake. So this is kind of a revisit, and that's Toolbox Murders.
Okay. Toby Hooper, I think it
Toby,
is. Right?
Toby Hooper did the remake.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Bride of Frankenstein. Never seen that.
Classic. You've never seen Bride of Frankenstein?
Nope. It's misnamed because the bride shows up for the last 2 minutes of the movie.
It's true.
But... yeah. And then we'll talk about this one later, but Halloween Ends. Finally watched Jason Goes to Hell.
Holy
the final
shit.
Friday. Damien, Omen 2. Hills Have Eyes 2, and that's the newer version of the Hills Have Eyes 2.
Final sequel to the remake.
Yes. Final Destination 5, ABCs of Death 2.5, which consisted of movies that were submitted to be in ABCs of Death 2, but didn't make the cut. And these were all movies that started with the letter M for whatever reason. They chose one letter and just showed. And then I watched Chrome Skull Laid to Rest 2. So that was my... and I watched many other movies other than those, but those are the ones that fit my challenge. And yeah, it's quite a few.
Well, that's very industrious of you.
Yes.
I myself don't have the time to do all that because I got to go to bed early.
Yes.
But I did manage to watch 4 movies. Now,
4.
I was going to go buy the binder and all that, but I just decided to just watch horror movies. And
you're right.
It's too hard to pigeonhole myself into specific things when I don't really have the time. But I did watch Brain Dead, starring the two Bills.
Yes, I've seen that.
Which is a very interesting movie. I like it. It's really cheesy.
Yes.
But it kind of fits into our theme this week a little bit. I watched the 2005 Amityville Horror reboot with Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yes.
It's got some good parts. I did see it in the theater way back in the day. I don't mind it. It's not as creepy as the original, but...
right. No, I've never seen the remake. Seen the original, but yeah, not the remake.
I watched the freshly released VHS 99 on Netflix.
No, on Shudder.
Or on Shudder, sorry. Really lying. Good movie.
Yeah.
Really good movie.
Very,
a lot of crazy. Like, I think you'd enjoy it. Like, there is.
I'm sure I would.
I think there's like 4 or 5 segments, maybe 6, and they're all pretty out there, but very entertaining. And I watched one of our favorites, which I don't think we talk about very much on this podcast, Troll Hunter.
Ah, yes. Genius.
It might be my favorite foreign film ever made, I think.
Of any genre, favorite foreign film? What about
any genre?
What about found footage? Would it be near the top of your found footage favorites?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I'm kind of glad the Americans haven't released their promised American
Well, they tried version. For a while. Yeah, they tried for a while. But I think they were going to go to the same route as the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake. Still set mm-hmm. it in the same area, but just have, you know, have it in English and stuff
language,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the best because there is no troll lore in the States that they could be pulling off by shooting it in the States. But
there's,
yeah.
there's not?
No. No. Unless they do like internet trolls and the people are trying.
Oh, so that's one thing that North Americans haven't stolen from.
No. The trolls. So unless they do have a, like somebody doing hunting down internet trolls. And then they do
or,
a hunter that way.
Like those good luck trolls that old ladies take to bingo.
Oh, right, right.
You know those, the ones with the hair?
Yeah, you know, I know the movies, you know, the ones that came out, the musicals, you know. I haven't seen them.
Of course
them,
you do.
I haven't seen them.
Don't lie. To.
I don't.
That's a lie.
I haven't seen it. My son keeps asking me. Well, it doesn't. He did when they came out, but I don't think he's interested in them anymore. Good for him.
Good for him. Good for yes. that boy.
Yes. So, we did our challenges. So we should reveal our next challenges.
I'm just going to continue watching whatever movies I can get in.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, even though by the time we record, we probably won't be in October anymore. My challenge will involve horror. Something that I realize in this journey I've had this month of watching a lot of new horror movies, there's a particular genre that has been lacking in my viewership, and that is Gayo horror. And yeah. So I'm going to try to watch some of those more popular titles, try to fit in some Bava or Argento or Fulci, that kind of stuff. So we'll try to get some of those titles in there. Some of the more mainstream Gayo.
That sounds lovely.
It isn't it though. Tis lovely.
All right. Yes.
All right. So, well, I mentioned it earlier. You guys been waiting. Let's talk Halloween Ends, because we went and had a very special night in a VIP theater. Our first experience Ooh. In a VIP theater. You know, food delivered, order from a waiter, everything comes to you. It's very, very fancy. I'm not sure it's worth the
very
extra
fancy.
Price, but it was a decent experience.
That was all right.
And then the movie started.
Well, see, I hated it at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then I rewatched it the other night. And I think I was too harsh on it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you haven't watched it by now, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to save spoilers or anything, but the first 5-10 minutes of the movie, exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going on. You think it's going to be a Michael thing, but it's yeah. not.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 10 minutes of the movie, pretty spectacular. But then there's like an hour and a half of, it's almost like, oh, hey, we have a great beginning and a great ending. Does anybody have a script that we can borrow to kind of yeah. fill in the rest of the movie? You know what I mean?
So is there some sort of subplot we can blow out?
Yeah.
No, it's, I think what maybe bothered me more, I mean, other than the fact, yeah, they brought in this new character who seemed to be, I don't know, whether, you know, telepathically connected to Michael Myers or whatever, but seemed to kind of feast on the evil that's in Haddonfield or whatever. But if you find the rules of sequels, usually the body count is supposed to go up and supposed to mm-hmm. get more violent. And this didn't follow that. It went down, if anything. And that was a little disappointing because I was like, because you're expecting to go out on a bang and just have this huge carnage and everybody die and whatnot. And whether or not Michael Myers is a hero or Laurie Strode dies or whatever, it doesn't matter. But building up to that, you're supposed to just, it's just supposed to be chaos. And it wasn't that. It was more of a, it wasn't necessarily a slow burn, but it was definitely deliberately paced. And the kills were kind of few and far between.
I did watch Halloween Kills as well this past weekend. And it's not a bad movie, and but it's very in your face. It's very kinetic. It's very bombastic. Like, it involves everybody in the town, and everybody's flipped out, and everybody's trying to kill everybody, and evil dies tonight. And this one, like, is the total opposite. It's like, there's very few scenes with more than three people on the screen. I think the kills are more brutal in this one.
Sure, there's a couple that are pretty bad,
like when he sticks the welding torch down the dude's mouth.
And the chain link fence is pretty graphic too.
The one thing that really bothers me is the whole, what is the relationship between Michael and Corey? What is the relationship? How it's almost like, oh, hey, teach me how to kill. Teach me how to be like you. But then there's this, I don't know if it's an element of supernatural mental link or I don't know. And like the scenes between the two of them are like when he beats Michael up and steals his mask. Like, I don't know about you, but you ain't beating Michael Myers up and taking his mask.
No,
you know,
no.
But when Corey does get the mask, he does a pretty good job of being Michael. But then Michael's just kind of hanging around and I don't know. It's
well, that's the thing is that all these,
I want to like it more than I, than I should.
You like know what all I mean? These killings start happening and no one really suspects Michael because they haven't seen him in 3 or 4 years. So there's no
way he's been hiding in the, he's been hiding in the sewer.
He's been hanging out with Pennywise.
He's been hiding in the sewer where there was really no water.
No.
Or anything. So I don't know.
And an abandoned sewer. And like one of the theories floating out there, which makes no sense, is that Corey is Michael Myers' son. But no. Like, I mean, if you look at the timeline, when Corey would have been born, Michael Myers would have still been locked up. And how, who did he bang? Who did he get with? And Michael Myers doesn't know from sex. He doesn't know.
That would be a fucking stupid cop out to explain what's going on. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I have a feeling that this is going to be the end of this Halloween cycle of movies and there'll be a new Michael Myers a reboot or whatever, right?
Yeah. The Laurie Strode era is done. And yeah, they'll just have not even any, reboot it essentially in a new timeline, in a new universe or dimension or whatever that, okay, this is Michael Myers here. This is, and maybe they'll try to create more of a lore and understanding of what Michael Myers is, whether it's a supernatural entity or whether he's just a fucking badass, not unstoppable force kind of thing. But
it's going to be, I tell you, this Michael Myers from this specific stream of Halloween movies ain't coming back physically in any sort of capacity. Laurie Strode fucked him up good.
They killed him multiple times and made sure that he wasn't going to be coming back.
I don't know. I honestly, this movie is very polarizing to me. It's very, I don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, my initial reaction was the same as you, but in hindsight, I'm starting to appreciate some of the things they were trying to do, but it's just not fully explaining the Corey character was my main obstacle. So,
and the actor's from our neck of the woods, by the way.
Yes, he is.
Which born doesn't in make Calgary, it. Raised in Cochrane, I think.
Yes. Oops.
But, like, the movie is beautifully set up. That opening scene is really good. But, yeah, I don't know.
It's better than Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. It's better than a lot of the later in the original, like H2O or Resurrection or anything like that. So, I mean, it's not a terrible.
It's not Halloween the worst one.
No, it's a mid-pack, right? You're not going there to, there's nothing new to expect from it, but.
You know, I don't mind Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Yeah.
Except that he had to write a part in for his wife. Which kind of made the movie a little like, why is she there? You know what I mean? Like, oh, hey, how can we write you into this movie?
Yes.
Oh, I know. You'll appear as a ghost only Michael can see.
Yes. Which part of that was weird, too, because Michael was seeing the ghost of his former self. Like, there was like he was seeing himself as a kid with the mother, but he's not dead. So what are you actually seeing?
Who knows?
Yeah.
All I know is that he's big son of a bitch.
Yes. And he sat beside me once at a meet and greet Q&A. Yes.
Yep. He did.
He did.
Cause he loves you.
He did. He tried to touch me.
What?
So,
yeah, Halloween, it was overall a good trilogy.
And now David Gordon Green.
The first one is probably the better out of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, David Gordon Green's going to do The Exorcist now.
He's doing a trilogy for Exorcist.
So what is it, a direct sequel?
I don't know, but Ellen Burstyn apparently is going to be in it. So I don't know if she's reprising her role.
How is Ellen Burstyn still alive?
I don't know, but she is.
Like, she had to have been 40 when they filmed The Exorcist 50 years ago.
Well, let's have a look.
She's got to be 85, 90 years old.
Let's see. She is 90 years old now.
Wow.
Yeah, she'll be 90 on December 7th.
Good for her for
agreeing
to come back. Like, that can't be easy.
No, she was, she was 41 during the original Exorcist. Yeah.
So do you think they're going to take The Heretic into consideration when they...
Oh, they better. They better. I mean, that thing should be canon all the way.
Yeah, that's a great sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's our theatrical endeavor. It is time for the main course.
That's right.
The main
right.
theme, the list.
This is the list.
Hi, Misty again. You know what makes horror movies even better? When you throw in a little bit of science fiction, then add some extraterrestrials, a pinch of mad scientist, a dash of mind control, and a smidge of outer space with a whole lot of scary shit, and you get some of the best damn movies ever put to film. Get ready to have your mind blown. May I present to you this episode's list, Flick Smack's favorite sci-fi horror.
And like I mentioned, the list is our favorite sci-fi horror, Now, there are certain movies we discuss on this podcast ad nauseum.
Yes.
But it's because they're good movies. So some of them appear on my list. Not many, but...
So we can mention them, but not necessarily go into great detail because, yeah, we have spoken about them before. Or there are ones I won't expand on because I remember really enjoying it as a kid, but I haven't seen it since. But it was still one of my favorite at the time. So that explains my list. So there.
All right. So shall I start or do you want to start?
I shall give you the honor of leading us off.
So in no particular order, I will start off with Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Mm-hmm. Now,
that's on my list.
I don't know if this movie can be taken seriously at all.
Oh, I don't think it's supposed to be, no.
But it's very colorful. It's very 1980s. Mm-hmm. It's very campy. And it's very cool.
Yes.
It's had a renaissance as of late because I think they're rebooting it or making a TV show out of it or something. But essentially these clowns come from outer space and cocoon people up in cotton candy. Do like carnival type death things to people.
Well then they suck out their blood with crazy straws.
Yes.
Yes.
It's just a fun little thing.
Yeah, no, it's good. But, it was on my list. And it's definitely campy. It's like a visual pun. Like everything is like just steals from any, like all circus and clown lore. And they interpret and make it into some sort of deadly weapon or it's just whatever. It's very creative and it's very fun. I enjoy
it. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. And where am I going to start? You know what? I'm going to start with Slither.
Okay.
James Gunn horror sci-fi comedy with Nathan Fillion as the lead. This is very gory, very special effects laden. A lot of great practical makeup and effects with the usual people from James Gunn movies, Michael Rooker, Greg Henry, and whatnot. It's it's just about this invasion of these little slug things that go around and get into people's bodies and kind of mutate them, and it's super fun. A lot of exploding body parts and stuff in it.
Not wrong with that.
No. It took me a long time to actually get around to watching it, but I loved it from the first 5 minutes. I was hooked, and I was in. Oh, and on a side note, congratulations to James Gunn, who has now been named the head and chief visionary for the DC universe going forward for the TV and film side of things.
Really?
Yes, and they are not calling it the DCEU anymore. It is now just the DCU, much like the MCU. And
so, is he done making Marvel movies then?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, he's got the holiday special coming up with Guardians and then Guardians 3. Beyond that, I don't know. But yes, he will be the Kevin Feige of the DC universe. We shall see how that goes. But we'll see how it goes, because he has had some success with Suicide Squad and the Peacemaker TV series. So let's see where it goes, because Black Adam seems to be doing pretty good business, even though he had nothing to do with that. But it's certainly something to build on. So we'll see where he goes.
That's the Rock, man. It's the Rock.
Congratulations to James Gunn, because I know he's a huge fan of this podcast. So,
Oh, yeah. All right. So next for me would be Aliens, the sequel to the 79 Alien. I just think this one's a little more intense. The addition of the little girl makes it a little more urgent, I think.
Yeah, raises the stakes of somewhat.
Yeah, and there's some really good scenes in this movie. Like Alien is a classic, but I just think this one ratchets it up a little bit. Yeah. Sorry, I don't know English. And then the rest of the Alien movies are okay.
Okay, is that including the Alien v Predator? And is that including the prequels?
Prometheus, I can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Alien vs. Predator, I've only seen once, but I don't remember liking it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And the third Alien, which one's a David Fincher one?
That's a Alien Cubed, whatever, you know, with the elevated three. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, I've never seen Resurrection, so.
That's the one with Winona Ryder?
Yeah.
I've seen it, but I don't remember it.
Yeah. So that must mean it's really good.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So I will continue with, let me see, let's go with, another Alien movie. Let's go with Bad Taste. Peter Jackson's first endeavor as a writer, director, and also performer in this movie. And this is just basically aliens trying to take over the world kind of thing. But set in New Zealand. And it is just a clinic of gross out makeup and explosions. And it's just Peter Jackson with friends on the weekends for like a couple years, just filming this over a bunch of time and then piecing it together. It is super silly. It is super gross, but it's just so fun. And it certainly is a window into what he's going to be doing beyond that. And it's a good flick.
Never seen it, but I do know the poster.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones you just don't forget because it's like, what the fuck is this?
Big aliens bulbous head. Yes.
Yep. So for me next is a movie called Dark Skies. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
It's actually on my list.
Very underrated, very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
A family experiences some extraterrestrial stuff. It's very underrated. Didn't get a lot of love, but I think it's keen.
Keen? Oh, mighty, yes. Mighty keen. Carrie Russell is the mom. But yeah, no, it's one of those ones where I was kind of hesitant to watching it, but then it ended up being like a big surprise. Like, wow, that was actually pretty solid. So yeah, it's a good one. I am going to go with a movie. You're not going to believe that. Okay. I'm going with a movie.
Oh, shoot.
Yes. And this one is The Host. And this is not the one based on the author of Twilight series. This is the Korean horror movie from the director of Parasite. And this is a nice, great creature feature. In vain of like Godzilla, where it's the, you know, government pollution and all that kind of stuff, and experimentation has created this beast. Very satirical, almost like a political commentary. And yeah, it's beast. The creature really doesn't have any, you know, discernible form. It's just kind of wet kind of like cylindrical kind of salamander without a face, but like salamander with like a lamprey face. And pretty good. There's not a lot of dialogue that you can get bogged down with having to have subtitles, because there's a decent amount of action and suspense, and it is wonderfully directed, and I enjoyed it.
Cool, man.
The host with the most.
The Koreans are on a nice little run of like nice little niche movies.
Yes.
So next for me, I would be remiss if I didn't include this bad boy. The 10th installment in the Friday the 13th series, titled Jason X.
Yes.
It is so campy, so ridiculous, and does not take itself seriously one bit.
No.
David Cronenberg has a cameo.
Yep.
Basically, Jason gets frozen cryogenically. Then he's discovered with another, what is she, like a scientist or?
Yeah.
And they're discovered like whatever amount of decades, centuries later.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thawed out, I guess you would say. And yeah. Jason doesn't miss a beat. He's terrifying.
You're on some
I
sort
believe
of...
it's Kane Hodder, I believe, still in 10.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, it takes place on like a space station of some kind. It isn't a space station called Crystal Lake or something like that. It's like some sort of crazy weird homage.
Yeah, homage. There's like the one death where he like freezes the girl's face in
liquid nitrogen, or
liquid nitrogen, and then smashes it on the yep. countertop. Like, there's some really good inventive kills.
We get Uber.
There's
Jason.
Like we get oh yeah we get Uber Jason. We get Jason in a VR kind of world where he's back at Camp Crystal Lake and he beats two pretty ladies to death in sleeping bags. And the movie never gets serious. It stands out from the rest because it's different and it's good.
Yes. Tis lovely.
Tis.
My next one probably has one of the most devastating endings of any movie in history, and this would be...
I know exactly what you're going to say.
The Stephen King adaptation of The Mist.
It is on my list.
You know, Thomas Jane leads this Frank Darabont adapted and directed movie. About these creatures from this military base that are being, traveling within this dense mist fog kind of thing, and people have to stay indoors. And, you see actually some of the real monsters are the humans within this convenience store. Like Marcia Gay Harden is like one of the most evil, vindictive people ever put on screen in that movie. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't want to give away the ending for people who haven't seen it, but it was so devastating. And it was all Frank Darabont's doing it was so good that Stephen King wished he had written it that way to begin with. And it is just so gut wrenching. And, but it's such a strong, effective movie. And, about small town paranoia and terror and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely got a very like human like when humans are left to make choices.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But like the monsters are just kind of the.
Well, they're kind of like Lovecraftian, a lot of tentacle type stuff, and yeah.
Yeah, and they're not the main point of the movie.
No.
But it's very effective. And you're right about the last scene. It's
mm-hmm.
Thomas Jane has to make a choice, and
yeah, if he waited, turns about out 10
it may seconds, have yeah
wait about 10 seconds, he wouldn't have had to do it, and that just adds to it. And it's yeah, it's. Pretty powerful.
I'll right on. Mm. No.
Mm. That's good root beer. Mm. Good year. Mm-hmm.
So next for me is one we've talked about before a little bit, The Faculty.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really good, I guess you could say, teen horror movie.
Teen ensemble kind of, yeah.
Robert it's actually Rodriguez. pretty cleverly written.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, it's all about like fitting in and trying to be cool. And
yeah,
it just happens that there's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a whodunit type thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, there's aliens with that are using human hosts to
yep.
hide amongst us and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah. And Robert Patrick's in it.
Yes, so he is.
That's a nice thing.
That's always a plus. Yes.
And, there's a very young, Frodo Baggins in it. What's mm-hmm. his name? I always Elijah forget Wood. His name. Elijah Wood.
Very early. Come to Daddy star.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The mustache.
Yes.
But it's just a good time. Like it's, mm-hmm. There's a run of like teen horror movies that were mm-hmm. just one after another were really yeah. good. So
yeah, this is kind of like a nice, like kind of almost throwback to like the 50s alien type body snatcher.
Invasion
type.
Of the Body Snatcher. Yeah.
Yeah. Which does lead me to my next choice, being Invasion of the Body Snatchers from 1978, the first remake of the movie with Donald Sutherland and Jeff Goldblum and Leonard Nimoy, Brooke Adams.
Very young Jeff Goldblum.
Yes. And this is just a good, again, people just... about conformity and just fitting in, and just all these people are being taken over by aliens, and they have these pods that, you know, cocoon the people, and then exact replicants come out and
not iPods, right?
No, not iPods.
Okay. Just yeah. clear that up.
Yeah. But AirPods and
gotcha.
Yeah, exact replicas come out, and they're just emotionless. So I mean, that's how they're able to identify the people who haven't been turned into pods, is the people who actually react to things and show some sort of emotion. And yeah, it's just a really well done, I think, written and directed by Philip Kaufman, who co-wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. And yeah, mm-hmm. it's just one of those, it's like an all-time classic sci-fi horror. It's really well done. And, you know, Donald Sutherland is just, you know, peak form in that as well. So great twist ending as well. So, yeah.
That scene, it was just on that 100 greatest scenes or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Where he figures out that she's actually been infected by the pod people or whatever.
Mm.
It's just a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it didn't. It's not on my list, but it should have been.
Yeah.
So next for me is a movie called Under the Skin.
Ah, yes.
with Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not something that you typically see Scarlett Johansson in.
It's an art house sci-fi.
It is horror. Definitely. She's like an alien being that preys on the men of Glasgow, I think it is, in Scotland. Mm-hmm. And it's very atmospheric. Mm-hmm. The music is great. Her acting is very subdued but mm-hmm. powerful.
Yeah.
And credit to her for taking a role like this. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you think she's unfeeling, very cerebral, very, or it, I guess she, it's not really a her, but then something happens to it and kind of changes the story a little bit, but just atmosphere alone and the scenes where she lures them back into that weird place, and it's a really good movie.
That black void or whatever, that black liquid.
Yeah, wherever she is, mm-hmm. wherever they're hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one. That one I thought about, but I didn't put it on. But yeah, no, that's a good one. I'm going to go with one that I think we've spoken about on this, but not at length. And since we spoke about aliens, you know, there's certainly been a lot of alien ripoff type movies that kind of have the same sort of setup, but this one is probably the best of the bunch and a good movie to boot, and that's Life. With Jake Gyllenhaal, Ryan Reynolds, Rebecca Ferguson. It's just something about this movie that's just so digestible for me, and I watch it more often than I should. It's just one of those things that when looking through Netflix and I see this is, and I can't think of something to watch, this just seems to be like a fallback movie that I can just put on and enjoy. Very similar. A foreign entity enters the ship and it kind of grows and takes over the ship and takes over people. And it's well directed. Good performances, good twist ending again. It's a really well made horror flick, suspense, and you know, you get the claustrophobia of the ship, and it's a good flick. I enjoyed it.
Wasn't it rumored to be like the prequel to
Venom
or whatever?
Yeah, that this was the symbiote. Yeah, no. Okay. That was the rumor. Just because it was a Sony release, and so trying to put that in there, but yeah, no. Because everything is in a Marvel connection just because it's a Sony or Disney.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
All right. So moving along, next for me is Daniel Kaluuya in Get Out.
Mm.
I think there's a sci-fi element to it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The way they're trying to mind control him and suck his essence out and put someone else's essence inside of him, I guess you would say. Hard hitting, mm-hmm. very sensitive subject matter. Jordan Peele, I think it's still his best so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really well done. And there's a lot of wild imagery in this movie, and it makes you think. And the how there's two alternate endings is good too.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies that kind of sticks with you for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe not like a science fiction like Aliens and you know, mm-hmm. but, you know,
yep.
I guess there's some science to it.
Mm-hmm. My next one is more of a comedy. This is a British one entitled Attack the Block.
Mm-hmm.
About British youths and hoodlums who uncover this alien invasion of thing that looks like spiky gorillas with fluorescent green mouth interiors. Johnny Bodega, or Boyega, or whatever, but from Star Wars, Finn from Star Wars, he is the lead of this group.
Oh, John Boyega or whatever.
Yeah. John Boyega, yeah. And Nick Frost has a part. The current Doctor Who is in it, Jodie Whittaker. And it's one thing you have to get used to is there's a lot of British street slang in it that these boys are throwing around. So sometimes it's hard to know what they're actually saying. But it's very enjoyable, very funny. Graphic at times, very low budget. But yeah, no, it's, I think it was, produced by Edgar Wright and, but yeah, no, it's a, tis good.
After we watch it, I watched it once
mm-hmm.
and, yeah, it's, I've been meaning to rewatch it. So I can fully appreciate it.
Yeah, I've watched it a few times. Pretty good.
So next for me is Pitch Black, the original Chronicles of Riddick
yes.
release that was...
certainly more low-key than its sequels.
Definitely more low-key. Probably more appreciated than the other ones.
Certainly more horror than the other ones are more sci-fi action than sci-fi horror.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more of a Vin Diesel movie. This mm-hmm. is this is more of like a, you know, story based.
Yeah.
Not actor based. Great effects.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept is great. The characters are stranded on a planet where, I don't remember exactly what the whole caveats to the thing is, but,
they have like two or three suns or moons or something like that. And there's
going to, yeah.
be, like, there's going to be an eclipse that's going to take place for the first time in however many years.
And it's going to be pitch black and these things come out and,
yeah.
They just kill. That's
yeah. Yeah.
And I think, I think Riddick is like a criminal or
yeah,
something.
He's a, yeah. It's cause it's yeah. a prison transfer. He's a criminal and he's had surgery in order to give himself like natural night vision. So he can yeah. see in the, he can see in the dark and see the creatures.
So yeah. basically he's going to be the savior for this group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I kind of watched it after Fast and Furious. So I was like, oh, Vin Diesel. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I actually saw this before Fast and Furious because I saw this at the theater. And so like it was before everyone was like, ooh, and awing over Vin Diesel. So this would have been like not too long after he was in Saving Private Ryan. So this is kind of like his introduction to like leading man status.
Yeah, like he's decent in this movie, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah.
Okay. That was on my list as well. Let's try to find some things that we necessarily haven't spoken about. Yeah, this one I'm going to be just really brief on this one. This is a creature feature from 87 that I saw on VHS way back when. I have not seen it since. I've been waiting. This is a movie that I look up frequently on Amazon to try to see if it's available.
For a Blu-ray release?
Yeah. And it never had a proper DVD release. And coincidentally, it got a real Blu-ray release today.
Mm.
And this is a movie entitled The Kindred.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Creature feature, Rod Steiger, just bombastic, over the top performance. It's like a Rosemary's Baby type thing with an alien or creature. And it's, I remember quite enjoying it, being like above average kind of B movie type, you know, sci-fi throwback movie. Can't get into great detail because I don't remember it, but I just remember being like, holy shit, this was like pretty good. And I was like, you know, 13 or whatever at the time. It's still kind of ingrained in my thought process. And so I will probably pick up that Blu-ray once I can, once I put an order into Amazon and say, please send me this, you sons of bitches, is what I'll say. Whoa. To them. Whoa. Yes. Yeah.
Whoa, that's scary.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll say it. I'll tell them. Send this to me. You fucking penises.
What?
What?
Too far. Too far. So for me, next is maybe like the OG science horror, Frankenstein.
Right.
You know, like it seems so lame and trivial now, like, oh, scientists trying to bring a collection of human body parts back to life. But back then, like, people weren't desensitized like they are now. So it's holy shit, this guy made a monster and he brought it back to life.
That's quite macabre for that time. Like, people, you know, don't even think about it now, but back then, you know.
Yeah.
Grave robbing.
It's like the thing where, you know, the creature actually turns out to be nice, and he's, you know,
misunderstood,
gets a little carried away, and there's a little accident, so people immediately turn on it and want to hunt it down and kill it. And that's a theme in movies that's never gone away, you know, like kill the misunderstood creature. And just for its time, the effects and like the Frankenstein makeup and stuff was pretty good, you know?
Yeah. Just to play on that and to talk about, you know, how I just rewatched The Bride of Frankenstein, the scene where Frankenstein meets the blind man, that whole thing is just, that's such a beautiful moment to movie this, him
absolutely
not being judged by appearance, and the blind guy accepting him and bringing him to his house and trying to teach him language and stuff like that. It's a wonderful, wonderful segment in the movie. And I'm like, wow, this is like really well done. So I just thought I would bring that up.
You're allowed.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, kind sir. My next one is, I believe, from the year 2000, entitled, The Cell.
Yeah.
And this combines
J-Lo.
J-Lo, Vince Vaughn, Vincent D'Onofrio combines a serial killer with technology, and just, it is so good. It's like, it's so visionary. Like, the visual style is just unreal. Like, the set decoration and costuming and everything is just so original and dreamlike. Vincent D'Onofrio plays different versions of the same character, and he is like terrifying and empathetic in so many different of the scenes. And it's very exciting because just all culminates to the end where there's different levels of tension. You know, something's going wrong with the equipment that they're using, and while they're within each other's minds, there's tension right there with, you know, J-Lo being captured and stuff by the criminal in his mind. And then at the same time, they're trying to hunt down the girl that this killer has trapped. And so there's like three different levels of tension all going on at the same time. And it's just really well directed and just really well executed. And just, very underrated movie. And very disturbing.
Beautifully shot.
Yes.
Beautifully, it's gorgeous. Beautifully laid out. Whoever storyboarded that movie put a lot of effort into that, because it couldn't have been easy.
No.
So next for me is the John Carpenter classic, in my opinion, They Live, where aliens are controlling humans' minds through subliminal messaging, and Roddy Piper kind of doesn't discover what's happening, but kind of stumbles into what's happening. I love this movie. I think the design of the actual alien, I love it. It's kind of blue and red and kind of skeleton like. And there's literally a 10 minute fight scene between Keith David and Roddy Piper, which it's worth the price of admission alone.
Which was pretty much all improvised and just done at the time.
It's too bad Piper couldn't have more of an acting career.
Yeah.
Because he truly was all around entertainer. And I love that John Carpenter took a chance and cast him as the main character, Nada. And we all know I'm a wrestling freak, and when I was a kid and I saw Roddy Piper in a movie, I was like, my mind was blown. And not just a piece of shit, like no holds barred wrestling movie, but like a legit horror movie. So yeah.
But what about Andre the Giant and Princess Bride? Did that make you excited?
Fezziwik?
Yeah.
I didn't see The Princess Bride until later in life.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just never... I wasn't a big Andre guy, so...
Okay. Fine, then. God.
What?
Sorry, my next one again is... I've seen it probably within the last, 5 years or so, but I can't remember specifics, but this is an Irish horror comedy entitled Grabbers, from 2012, and it involves like tentacled aliens and giant tentacled aliens that's just invading the small Irish town and people.
Did you just say giant testicled aliens?
Giant alien testicles. And they're smothering people in this Irish town. And it's super fun. Just good B movie camp. Didn't get a lot of play, but it kind of caught my eye and I watched it, and it was fairly entertaining. Yes.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
You should.
So next is one that we both love. The Fly, Cronenberg, 96. 86. Goldblum. 86. Goldblum. Maybe the best body kind of horror. The scene where he arm wrestling that dude and breaks his wrist, just everything about this movie is kind of gross but awesome at the same time. He's basically a scientist and he's trying to teleport, I believe, and a fly gets into the pod with him and he fuses himself with a fly's DNA and becomes a fly.
Yes, much different than the original where they just kind of swap body parts. This was more inventive and had it more on a molecular level. And he just slowly becomes a fly.
Cronenberg is the body horror guy. So
that he is.
Mm-hmm. Your turn now.
Okay. I'm going to say upgrade.
That was going to be on my list.
Yeah. And this came out, you know, not too long ago. It's about a guy who suffers an accident and his girlfriend is killed and he becomes a quadriplegic, I believe. And he gets an opportunity to have this chip implanted into his spine that will now control his body through his thoughts and whatnot. And he can just switch off and have this chip just take over everything. And he slowly hunts down all the people responsible for the death of his girlfriend. And it is quite gruesome. He goes to great lengths, but his main alibi is that he is in a wheelchair and he's not really capable of doing this because he's, you know, kept secret about this chip because it's unreleased proprietary technology. And it's with Tom Hardy lookalike
Logan Green something or another.
Yeah, Logan Marshall Green or Logan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the OC.
Yes. But yeah, no, it's highly entertaining. Written and directed by Lee Whannell from the Saw franchise and whatnot. But yeah, no, it's a pretty entertaining flick.
I think we saw that at Eau Claire.
I think myself, yeah.
I think it was like a limited, it's only out for like a weekend or something.
Might have been.
So next for me is one of my favorites of any genre, The Thing. What?
The Thing, never heard of
the,
it.
The 1980 The Thing.
Not the prequel? From
not the prequel. which wasn't bad for what it was, but anyways, like we all know what The Thing is about. Alien just trying to survive the Arctic, jumping from body to body. A lot of wild effects in this movie.
Oh yeah.
And very tense. Very intense scenes. Another case where humans are the real monsters. And nobody trusts anybody. Like John Carpenter's just a brilliant, brilliant director. Like he gets the most out of what he can. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And Kurt Russell is, you know, he is the John Carpenter boy. And MacReady is one of my favorite characters of all time in any movie.
The whole cast is goo. It's just a, you know, murderer's row of great supporting actors of the time. Like there's just so many good actors in it.
Keith David again.
Yes. Yep. Wilford Brimley. Wilford
Brimley. It's a very claustrophobic, very contained, very paranoid movie, which is beautiful. Yes. Okay.
Yes, it's very nice. This one, again, I'm not going to be able to go into great detail, even though I just saw it. Like, geez, I don't know, but this is a fairly recent one. This is almost a time travel slasher film entitled Detention that came out in 2011 and stars Joss Hutcherson from like the Hunger Games and whatnot. And this takes place. It's a high school slasher and there's a portal and time travel in order to be able to stop the serial killer from doing his stuff, and it's got some good twists. It's just funny and entertaining, unexpected, and yeah, I just enjoyed it. Dane Cook is in it.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's on the CTV app.
Oh,
yes.
Maybe I will check it out.
No, but yeah, it's pretty good.
Next on my list is Overlord.
Ooh, that's on my list too.
It's like a World War II sci-fi horror action movie in which the Nazis are
doing experiments,
creating experiments like they always are in Nazi-based horror movies. It's just really, the action is great. There's a ton of gore, a lot of violence, and it's highly entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yep, another good body horror. Yeah.
Yep.
Experimentation and whatnot. Yeah, it's lovely.
Those nasty Nazis are at it again.
Yes. When will they learn? My next one is one we have discussed, but it deserves repeating, and it's Annihilation. This is probably one of my favorite movies in the last, decade or so. It's just so cinematic. It's such great storytelling and special effects about this, this dome that appears out of nowhere that they call the Shimmer, and it's just slowly growing, and it will eventually overtake the Earth, and you go in it, and all flora and fauna all become one kind of organism, and they all kind of mix DNA, and there's hybrids of creatures and with flowers and whatnot that looks like creatures are all inside out, and it's super creepy and so well done. Natalie Portman and Tessa Thompson, who plays Valkyrie in the Thor movies, is in it, and Oscar Isaac, Jennifer Jason Leigh. But yeah, it's a written and directed by Alex Garland, who's just a great writer of this kind of genre. And it's just a gorgeous movie.
You do gorgeous. Love that movie.
I do.
So this is my last one that I have here. And it's very recent, from 2 years ago, The Invisible Man.
Yes. Another Lee Whannell movie.
It's a very clever take on technology and science. It's very cleverly written. There's a lot of great stuff in this movie. What's her name?
Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, Elizabeth Moss' character's husband. She leaves her husband because he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
But he's invented this bodysuit through refraction of light and whatever that basically renders him invisible. So he continues to terrorize her and gaslight her, and because and the scene in the restaurant where he slashes her sister's throat, like in a snap of the fingers. I wasn't expecting too much, but it's actually a really decent movie.
It was really good. I mean, it had a lot of good
violence.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, it's an amazing take on the whole Invisible Man, using technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Instead of just going with my last one, I'm just going to just list off a bunch of my last ones here. I got the original Blob. Love it. A Cure for Wellness, good psychological sci-fi thing that came out not too long ago. Dane DeHaan and Mia Goth, great movie. I Come in Peace. I think we've spoken about that one on here.
You Leave in Pieces.
Yes. The Dead Zone. Christopher Walken is fantastic. Another David Cronenberg. Dreamscape. It's another one. It's kind of like Nightmare on Elm Street, except through technology, where you can go into people's dreams and make them do things and, you know, commit murder that way. Event Horizon. We talked about this last week. Just one of the best that you're ever going to see.
That movie gives you a boner.
It does. The Platform. I think I've spoken about this one. This came out recently. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. Spanish film. It's dystopian future with everyone living on different platforms. And it's crazy. Speaking of Cronenberg, his son, Brandon Cronenberg, filmmaker now, made a movie called Possessor. Fucking crazy. So gory. So crazy. Psycho Gorman. Fucking just good. Awesome movie. Quiet Place. And one I saw recently, a Russian movie called Sputnik. That was way better than I was expecting. Pretty intense. And of course, we talked about this one last week in Dark City. So it's, it's quite a, it's some like left off my list, but I think, yeah, those are, I think that was a pretty solid list we had.
That's a great week of list.
Yes. Wonderful.
That we just presented.
I think it's pretty close to being award winning.
We are a couple of smarties. That's what we are.
Yeah. I think we should be nominated for a Webby. So
Smarty Pants, sis.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Yes.
Cool. Does that conclude spooky season?
I think it concludes spooky season, yes. That's the end of our list, because I don't think we're going to be able to get in another one before spooky season is over. So, I think it's time for Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week. It's Pick of the Pod.
Yeah, it is Pick of the Pod. But I said Pick of the Week.
What are you talking about? Are you reinventing the podcast as we record it?
Yes, Pick of the Pod.
Hey, everybody. Quiet down, please. These two jerks have an opinion. Here is this episode's Pick of the Pod.
All right. So for me, it's something that you suggested. Mm-hmm. The new season of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yes.
I don't know if you've watched them.
Yeah, I've watched all of them. Yep.
The second episode, the one about the UFOs.
Yes.
Like, I was captivated.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd never heard of that incident before or whatever, but no. Apparently everybody else had.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a narrator, I was kind of, you know, wondering how it would go, but it's good. Like, the music's the same. Like you watch the old Unsolved Mysteries and the quality of video is terrible. And
yes.
It's a good series. I'm going to continue to watch it.
What? Okay.
And okay. I have another one. I believe I've mentioned it before, but there's a show on Disney Plus Star called Reservation Dogs.
Right.
And it's just so good. Like, people should watch it. Takes place on an Oklahoma reserve.
Mm-hmm.
An indigenous reserve, and it's like a Twin Peaks but comedy. Like, every character has their quirks. It's really good.
Yeah.
So watch it.
I probably will once spooky season is over, because I'm pretty
shit.
In pretty much just ingesting horror films right now. So, yeah. So I guess for my pick of the pod, or should I say picks of the pod, because I'm going to go with two as well. One I watched a while ago and one I just watched yesterday. And I'm like, okay, it's fresh in my mind. I'm going to throw it on here. Both horror comedies. One is set in Scotland and it's entitled Get Duked. This is available on Prime. This follows a bunch of like delinquent teens that are set on their own to try to find themselves and know about teamwork and do walk along this trail in the Highlands to just kind of, you know, self-discovery, and they end up kind of being hunted. And it's there's a lot of hip hop music in it because one of them thinks he's a rapper. He's DJ Beatroot is his name. And he has a rhyme saying that they call his penis Loch Ness because it's big and mysterious. And it's pretty entertaining. And yeah, it's who else is in it? Let's see, Eddie Izzard is one of the people doing the hunting. It's yeah, it's pretty good. The other one I watch is on Shudder, called Bloody Hell. This is very funny, very clever. It's about a guy who gets caught up in a robbery, and through his own actions, he's able to thwart the robbery and ends up killing all the robbers, but someone, an innocent, gets killed. And so while he's being deemed a hero, he's sent to jail for 8 years for the manslaughter. And then when he gets out of jail, he's kind of like a big paparazzi darling, and he's getting followed around. So he just wants to go someplace where he's not known. And so he flies to Finland, and things don't go well for him in Finland. And it's pretty entertaining. Yeah, it's good. It's very, very charismatic lead.
What's it called? Bloody Hell?
It's just called Bloody Hell. Yeah, it's on Shudder. Yeah, it's great, great, fun movie. Yeah, enjoyed it.
Is it as Bloody fun Hell. As Gremlins 2?
Probably.
Okay.
Yes. But yeah, so right that's, those are my right picks on. Of the pod.
So what you do you have anything else you'd like to talk about?
Well, since we last did our podcast, sadly the Blue Jays were eliminated from World Series contention.
Unceremoniously.
It's a piss dumped. Poor performance. And the Phillies Astros series shall begin on Friday. Go Phillies. Not that I have any real allegiance with them. I just don't care for the Astros. So,
is it because they're cheaters?
Yes. And no.
Hey, wait. Maybe we should tell the people about how we went to the hockey game last week and we got lots of Jumbotron time.
Yes, we were stars. We were on the Jumbotron many times. We would have been on the actual TV telecast many times based on the location of our seats. So, yeah, we should be. We were stars of the Flames broadcast, and it was a great game.
Yeah, we were better. We were almost better than the Flames were that night.
Yeah. It was a great game. Flames won. Flames are off to their best start in franchise history. So this could be a good season. Good things to come. So, yeah.
Yep.
Was there anything you wanted to add to that? Or
not really. Yeah. I've been building a lot of Lego lately.
Nice.
That's about it.
Okay.
Not much else going on.
All right. So I guess it's time for me to unveil our next theme. And this is a movie the theme that could be fun, but at the same time could be infuriating. Because of the topic, movies you loathe.
Oh, yeah.
For whatever the reason, either it's just being a terrible movie or it's overrated, or whatever petty reason you have to dislike the movie, it's on the list. So
Okay. We
all know at least one entry on my list, and I guess it will come up. But yes, so we usually talk about movies we like. Now you get to hear about movies we dislike. So this should be all fresh titles we're talking about, kind of like a PSA warning of movies to avoid.
But I can guarantee half of the movies on my list people love. Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah.
But there's for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, there's a lot of mainstream movies that are just like, no. So yeah, so that will be our next theme.
All right.
It'll be fun.
I look forward to this. I'm surprised it took almost 60 some odd episodes to do this one.
And, you know, as you're listening to this episode, in case you didn't know, this is episode 16 of season 5. That is something we forgot to state at the top. So
yes.
Now you're informed. Now you're informed. So
very nice.
Yes. So till next time, this is Scott signing off for Flick Smacks.
And this is Terrence, and we'll see you on the flippity flop.
Flippity flop. Toodles.